This is rough for me to be able to just sit up here in front and just be loved by you folks and prayed. I bet you I wore you all out praying. I want to just mention that I saw the video the night that Thanksgiving Eve, where a car hit me. And I was so amazed at how the angels protected me. Unbelievable. And I'm sure that there are cases here of the same kind of things that happened to you in the past about how God's hand is upon us very specially and how he really cares for us. And a lot of times, you know, I was thinking what Pastor Schiavelli said this morning, and opening your mouth and just letting God fill it, so important. So important for us to let God have his way. Just like right now, you know, I opened the Bible tonight and I said, "Dear God, I have to give them something." And he said, "Don't worry, Lou." He says, "I'll be right there with you." And he is. He's with us here always. He says, "He'll never forsake us. He'll never let us down. He'll always be there to care for us in many ways." And as I look out here, I just see the faces of people who, many, many of you who have gone through trials, tribulations, deep hurts, where you just really didn't know if God was listening or not. I have that feeling in my life sometimes in the past. I remember one time, Kathy Ryan, you know, I couldn't get anybody to give me a liver. This was like 10 years ago. She came up to me and she said, "Pastor Lou, I'll give you half my liver." And I never forgot that. Never forgot it. And I look in here and I see people from Framingham and Yvonne Green. Yvonne here?
Yeah.
That's right. And your grandson, Ryan. How we in the print shop prayed for your grandson way, way back when he was a child, a very young, young child. He was going to nursery for his first time. He wouldn't stay there. The first time he would get a chance, he would escape. And Grandma would have to come, or John Green or John's wife, she would have to come and get him out of nursery. But Susie and Pastor Bruce and Gunn, wherever Gunn is. Are you here tonight, Gunn? Yeah. Or she's not here? No. Well, we prayed for that boy, plus five others. There were six altogether. And you know that every one of those boys that we prayed for day in and day out, every one of them is now successfully living a full, solid life for Christ. That's you, folks. That's you. You did that. You got on your knees and prayed with others and asked God to bless and cover those that have such great need, financially, physically. There hasn't been a time that when I went to the hospital for a need that God hadn't opened the door for me, and I'm laying there with tubes in me and all kinds of machines running and that. And I said, "Oh, okay, Lord, who's next?" And he'd bring them in all night long, people. I mean, I looked a mess. What is it that God can take somebody And people, nurses and doctors, are so wanting to come in and have you pray with them. It's such a great power. I think one time that blessed me so much is when Pastor asked me to go to Lenox. Ed Canino and I, we were asked to go. He was going to do the engineering. And Pastor says to me, "You're going to be the pastor of Lenox." When he said that, such a tremendous warmth came upon me, because God was filling me with things that I needed in order to serve him. There were 70 students from Berwick that had no jobs, they were in debt, and they couldn't afford to live in Berwick anymore because there was no jobs. So Pastor sent them to Ed and I. And every day, we'd give them enough bus fare and a lunch. And we'd send them out with clippings of jobs that were available. Do you know the whole 70 of them got jobs and paid off their bill that same year? You can't stop knowing the truth about prayer. It's the most amazing thing. Do you know that Satan cannot stop that? He can't stop you from praying for people. Oh, how frustrated he gets. How I love to pray. And he's, "What are you doing? What are you doing? Where are you going? What are you saying?" He doesn't know. You can pray quietly alone, or you can pray with the body. I think of Psalm 133. That's my favorite verse. How we dwell together in unity. The mountains we can move are unreal. I think of my pastor, Pastor Schaller, and what an amazing man he is to step in to this ministry behind the footsteps of Pastor Stevens and being able to take it over and see it through and write it through to this day. And look how it flourishes. Look what we got going for us. All these countries, all over Europe, Africa, Asia, how they just keep coming. They keep coming. They want to hear the precious word, because Satan can't stop it. He can't. He has no way to stop it. And so when you get on your knees and you just look up to the Lord Jesus and say, please, God, help me with my sons and my daughters, and help me with my grandchildren. He's going to come through. He's not going to forsake you. You need him. We need him. This church needs him. And when we come here, we should be prepared with all our hearts to hear what God has for us. He's speaking. He's telling us through our men that God has appointed over us to serve us and lead us and guide us. What a wonderful trip this is, that we don't have to say, I know it don't work. It won't work. It doesn't work. But it does, doesn't it? Yes. Amen? Amen. I remember, I know Lisa's going to smile at this, but when I first met Lisa, in Berwick, she had on a granny gown, she had on a pair of army boots, and then she had that ponytail. They all had it then, you know, and she was like a little flower girl. But now look at her. She's married an amazing man of God, raising a whole family. She gave all she's got, hasn't she? Like you. Just to step in this church, you give it all you've got. Right, Olga? Amen. Well, that's all from Louie. I think I said enough. So God bless you all.
Thank you, Pastor Lou. That was awesome. All right. Please stand with me and open your Bibles. We're going to look at three portions of Scripture tonight. First is going to be Romans chapter 4, verse 21. Second will be Hebrews 11, verse 13. And the third will be 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. Romans chapter 4, verse 21. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And then 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. 2 Timothy 1, 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Let's pray. Father, thank you for an amazing word from Pastor Lou. Your faithfulness to this body, each face, each life, your promises to each one that you have brought us through. And you are for this work and this ministry and the heritage that we've received. Lord, tonight, once again, we come before you. Pray that you would quicken us, Lord. We want to hear and we want to receive all that you have for each one of us. No matter what we are going through, no matter where we are at, you are beautiful for our situations. So, Lord, we pray you would continually be with our pastor, Pastor Schaller, as he continually travels and comes back to us. Lord, give him traveling mercies. Thank you for the amazing testimonies that we will hear upon his arrival. And we pray for Pastor Shibeli as he brings your word tonight. Lord, deliver from any familiarity with the word of God tonight, that we would receive it not as the word of a man, but in truth as the word of God. So, Lord, bless. We just thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Hey, you may be seated. Thank you, Pastor Lou. And what an amazing wife you have, too. I remember when he was in West Africa, all the churches in West Africa and all the people from Togo to the Ivory Coast to Ghana, Burkina Faso, they all remember Pastor Lou. They called him the big man. He's the big man. And I don't remember what year that was. Was that in the 90s? Sometime in the 90s when that took place. But thank you. Thank you, not for your words only, but for your life and how you have just followed God and been such an integral part of this ministry. It's incredible. Faithful. Faithful man. The Bible doesn't say God's looking for gifted people. It says a faithful man who can find. Proverbs 20, verse 6. That's what God is looking for, faithful people. Thank you for being faithful tonight. Thank you for being here. I mean, thank you for coming out. It's amazing. On a Sunday night. There's a word that appeared in all three of those verses. Anybody know what it was? This is like a quiz. What was it?
Persuaded.
Persuaded. And really, speaking about Abraham in Romans 4, verse 21, that being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. And that's an amazing word, being fully persuaded. It's more than being persuaded. In the Greek language, there's a prefix to the word, fully persuaded, mentally won over. Then in Hebrews 11:13, speaking about people who died in faith, it meant that they lived by faith all the way to the end. They died in faith. They didn't go back. And they were persuaded and they confessed. They embraced and confessed these promises. So the promise, being persuaded by the promises, then Paul spoke about, even though he's suffering things, he knows whom he has believed. And he is what? Persuaded that he is able to keep that which was committed to him until that day. What does it mean to be persuaded, to be mentally won over? And let's not take it from the aspect of I need to be persuaded, but let's take it from this viewpoint or this idea that God is in the business of persuading me. That when I go the wrong way, he is there and he is persuading me. He's always persuading us. How does he do it? By his love in Romans 8:38. He talks about, I am persuaded by the love of God. He does it by the initiation of his life and his mercy. So that when I find myself, you can see men and women in the Bible, and at times they were going back and forth with God. I was thinking about John the Baptist, and I thought, how amazing that he is literally proclaiming with no care for the opposition, like, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's proclaiming it. He's preaching. He's calling the religious people serpents and vipers. Okay? Whitewashed sepulchres is what Jesus used later, but he was challenging the religious people. He was like an example when I think about John the Baptist. He was an amazing example of somebody on fire for God. But something happened when he went to prison in Matthew chapter 11. He sent two messengers to Jesus and he said, ask this question. Is this he who is to come or should we look for another? And it seems like what would happen with any of us, maybe getting into a tight situation where he's in prison, and all of a sudden he began to have some doubts in his mind based upon his own situation of what was taking place. He said, is this he who is to come? Is this the Messiah or should we look for another? By the way, if it can happen to John the Baptist, it can happen to anybody here. Are you convinced of that? Yes, it could happen to anybody. King Saul was like that. One day he wanted God, the next day he didn't want God. One day he says, oh, I'm so sorry, David, and he repents. The next day he's looking to kill him again. Elijah was back and forth, wasn't he? He was back and forth, you know. One minute he faces 800 prophets of Baal, and he takes them down to the brook and slays them. He faces them on the mountain. It's incredible what takes place there. Him against 800. Then Jezebel sends him an email, and he's on the run. A woman sends him an email, and he like takes off, and he says, I'm out of here. And by the way, here was his prayer request. I wish I could die. I'd like to die. Ever pray that prayer? Don't do it. By the way, all the people that prayed to die, it's really interesting what happened. Elijah prayed that he would die, and he didn't die. Was taken up in a whirlwind. Am I right? It's incredible. Same with Moses. He requested to die in Exodus 32, and God took him, like right up, looking at the promised land. He said, you're going to a better place. Let's go. Being persuaded, how important it is. The people in Lystra, at one point in Lystra, they were so like, the gods have come down to us when Paul healed the lame man, right? Then they're convinced by unbelieving Jews and they want to stone Paul. So one minute they're saying he's a god, the next minute they want to kill him. Isn't that how humanity can be? Back and forth. The word doubt, by the way, is used in Matthew chapter 14. The word doubt in many places in the scriptures, the word is distazo, and it means you stand in two places. Yeah, God's going to do it. Oh boy, I don't know what's happening here. Is God ever going to come through? Wow, God's going to heal me. I'm going to be healed by God. Hallelujah. God, is this sickness ever going to end? They're back and forth. I know God's going to supply all of my needs financially. It's amazing. God's going to come through with a financial miracle. Honey, look at the checkbook. We're a mess. Huh? And we're standing in two places. This is doubt. And that's me at times, and that's all of us at times. You know? It's happened a number of times. And so God wants to persuade us. He wants to persuade us by loving us. He wants to simply win over our minds. And that means my mind has to receive from God's mind, and my mind has to really believe the promises of God. Do you? Do you? Nobody's answering me tonight. I don't know what's going on here. Do you believe the promises of God, Pastor Cooper? Did you say amen? How about that amazing woman sitting next to you? She believes the promises of God. She has to. She's married to me. I don't know what that means. Whatever. But do I believe what God has promised? And it says in 2 Peter 1:4 that he has given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. But by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in this world through lust. God says they're not just promises, they exceed great. And they're what? Precious promises. And God has given us hundreds and thousands of promises in the Bible. And he's using them to persuade us. Thomas, I told you I would rise again. How many times did I say it in our interaction in the Gospels? Do you believe it? They called him what? Doubting what? Doubting. By the way, he became a great missionary to India. Thomas, stand in two places and God came back. I believe God came back that second time just for Thomas. He wasn't there. I wonder what he was doing on that Sunday. Was he watching the Ravens? I don't think so. He wasn't. What was he doing? Where was he? What did he? He missed the presence of God. He missed a resurrection appearance of Jesus Christ in that upper room where they were living in fear. So God wants to persuade me, and he uses his promises to do it. And they are great, exceeding great and precious promises. And then he tells me in 2 Corinthians 1:18 through 20 that all the promises of God are in him. Yea, yes, yes, and amen unto the glory of God by us. How many promises? Huh? How many? All? Really? He's going to perfect us? He's going to love us unconditionally? He's going to use us in our Christian life? He's going to take us to heaven one day? We're going to have a perfect body, soul, and spirit? You believe that? I believe that. Because God promised it. And Titus 1:2 says it's impossible for God to lie. A lot of lies out there, aren't there? A lot of lies out there. Lie after lie after lie after lie. The liar, who is the god of this world in 2 Corinthians 4:4 and Ephesians 2:2, he's a liar and he makes the world a place of nothing but lies. You're not going to make it. Look at your situation. What's wrong with you? You need medication. Now, some people, please don't take this the wrong way, jump off your medication. One time a person did that and they committed suicide and they tried to sue me and my brother and take us to court. And they said that you told them to not take medication. I said, I never said that. I said nothing at all like that. Whatnot. But you know what? You know how it is. You get this slight little pain like over here. It's like so minute. We run right for the cabinet. Where's the pills? Gee, couldn't God heal? Couldn't that pain be gone in a second? No, really, if we're not careful, this is a drug-orientated world. I don't mean just narcotics and alcohol and dopey dope smokers. How do you like that? I listen to all these ridiculous arguments on the news about, you know, legalization of marijuana. Do you know the most? I studied this for 7 years. And I used to do seminars in school systems. The most powerful drug against the mind that is on the market today is THC, the potency of marijuana. Other things affect the body, but that particular drug affects the brain cells. So don't go telling me about, you know, well, they're passing a law, and they say this, and they say that. We all let people do it and whatnot. You know what? You're going to kill people's brain cells fast. And the reason why people start smoking dope, and then they start shooting drugs and using cocaine, is because brain cells are dying, and they can't make decisions that are proper decisions. I don't want to hear all this political nonsense. And all these doctors and all these people that come out and say this and say that. It is dangerous. So if you smoke it, knock it off. Isn't that good? Huh? No, put it out. I had a guy one time, he was smoking dope and drinking a beer. I said, he said, don't talk to me about God. I've got a joint in my hand and a beer in the other hand. He said, don't talk to me about God. I'm unholy. I said, you can be delivered in 1 second. He said, how? I took the joint out of his mouth and put it in his beer. I said, finished. You're finished right now. It's over. You can't smoke the joint. It's all wet. You can't drink the beer because you're going to get tobacco in your mouth or whatever it is. He said, you're crazy. I said, of course. Of course I am. I'm not stable in that realm. That was Pastor Steve Murillo. No, it wasn't. I'm just joking. But being fully persuaded, I'm mentally won over. And God wants to win our minds over that his promises are true. And they're yes and amen, and they're exceedingly great and precious. He says in 1 Kings 8:56, listen to this verse, not one word of all that he has promised will ever fail. Hello? Not one what? Not one word. That's amazing. Not one word of all that he promised. Not even one word. Not even one of those words in all of those verses will ever fail. The same promise that Moses spoke to Joshua. Moses spoke a promise to Joshua in Deuteronomy 31, 6 through 8. I am with you. I'm not going to forsake you, and I'll never fail you. You know what happened, which is amazing? I never saw this before. In Joshua chapter 1, God said the exact same three things. Now, God was speaking in Joshua 1. There's a twofold witness. Now, God says, I am with you, I'll not fail you, and I will not forsake you. Moses was dead, and now God is going to say just what Moses said. That's incredible. The promises of God. Are you with me? The promises of God. And the devil likes to come in, or the flesh likes to come in, or carnal Christians like to come in, or people like to come in and say, oh, come on, you believe that? You really believe that? You know, it's kind of like the world as it's getting less and less Christian as far as the West is concerned. It's amazing how people have this idea about God and who God is. It's incredible. They don't understand the promises of God. You know what's going to be amazing? One day when the sky opens up and Jesus comes back. I mean, I'm not talking about the rapture. That's going to be amazing because we're all going to be gone. You believe that? That's a promise from God. He said he's coming back. He's going to take us with him. Hello? Yeah. You're sitting there like, you believe that? Yeah. I'm going up. Way up. Isn't there a song like that? Way up. I'm going up. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. The Lord will descend with a shout. And we'll be caught up in the air. And then guess what? We're going to come back with him. That's going to be fun. When he deals with everything. All the rebellion and the isms and the schisms and the religions, when God comes back and a sword's coming out of his mouth. Oh, we might not see the great victories now in this world system, but one day every knee, here's a promise, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Amen? Here's a promise. For people that have children or for people who are children. Train up a child in the way that he should go and he won't depart from it. You got that? You know what's going to happen? One day they're going to be perfected. Well, this 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years, that whatever. But you know what? Eternity is eternity, isn't it? And one day they'll be sitting right next to you in heaven. All at the same table. The table of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Matthew chapter 8, verse 12. Family at the table in heaven. Somebody said, I can't wait to get to heaven. I want to be around my wife all the time. I said, what's wrong with you? He said, well, there's no marriage in heaven. No, there's no new marriages in heaven. I'm going to be with Linda in heaven. I don't know. You know what? Hello? Are you going to be with your husband in heaven? What are you talking about? Where'd you get that interpretation? From your subjective, seduced, technologically advanced mental apparition that comes through on an occasional time in life? Where'd you get that from? I got a promise from God, amen? We got a promise from God. And these promises, not one word will fail. They're exceeding great and precious. And even if I don't see anything happening by sight, I want to be persuaded and mentally won over by the promises of God. Paul knew it. He said, nobody stood with me at the end of my life, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me that by me the preaching might be fully known. God gave him a promise. God gave him a... You know what I was looking at today? Stephen preached. He was a deacon. Anybody want to be a deacon? He was deacon, preached one message and died. First martyr. I like those kind of deacons. Those are great. I want to be a deacon so I can have some decision making in the church. How about being a deacon and dying the first day? That's a good one, huh? Listen to this. Listen to this. When Stephen preached to the Sanhedrin, he quoted 19 Bible books and 50 Bible references in one message. No wonder they wanted to kill him. 19 books with 50 references. You know why Stephen believed in the promises of God? Stephen believed. He said, you can do what you want to my body, but I see Jesus, the Son of God, standing at the right hand of the Father. I'm going home to be with God. By the way, did you know that to be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. How quick does that take? Instantly. The second we die, we're gone. We're with Jesus Christ. That's a what? That's a promise from God. Are you fully persuaded? Yeah, I mean, I want to live as long as God wants me to live. But I don't know, whatever. I'm not so much going to cling on to this life here, on this earthly thing, you know? It's great, and we're here, and we have a great purpose. But I love it. The promises of God. He says, he'll never leave me nor forsake me. Say that to yourself. He'll never leave me. By the way, you leave God, he never leaves you. Isn't that awesome? You can leave God, he doesn't leave you. You can deny him, he cannot deny himself. He's faithful. 2 Timothy 2:11 through 13. He's made us a promise. He's made us promises as individual believers and as a church. We're a church that is in 75 or 76 countries, depending on what day it is, and has 670 churches that are Greater Grace affiliated churches in all the world. God gave a promise to Pastor Stevens, a promise to Pastor Schaller, a promise to us as a ministry to take us into all the world. And those promises are yea and amen. And the proof is there. You don't believe it? Come to the missions office any day you want. We'll go through it step by step with you. Where we are and what we're doing. And it's amazing. You know why? God promised. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's a promise from God. Are you with me? Study the Bible. There's a promise that he's going to teach you from his Bible. Come to church. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but do it much more as you see the day approaching. That's a promise from God. Tonight, we're going to believe God as we prepare to pray. Really be persuaded that God is going to can touch my physical body. He can touch my mind. He can touch my emotions. He can touch diseases and they can be gone. He can touch in situations. Maybe I'm praying about some situation in my life. Are you persuaded? Are you and I persuaded that prayer, as we heard from Pastor Lou, speaking to God, that God can answer? Are you persuaded? We don't want to go through some ritual, some familiar kind of a thing. I am persuaded. And I want to continually be persuaded by the God who does the persuading. He wins me over by his love. He wins me over by his mercy. He wins me over by his faith. He wins me over by his comfort. He wins me over by the Spirit of God. He wins me over by his purpose. He wins me over by his kindness. He wins me over by his meekness and his gentleness and his humility. God is in the business of winning us over. He's persuaded, and he's persuading us. And all I got to do is say, here am I, God. Boy, I'm unclean and undone in Isaiah 6, but you want to send me? Okay, I think I'll go. You're persuaded about me when I'm not persuaded about myself. And this is finished work persuasion. Amen? Okay, let's stand and pray, and if they'll get ready with the oil. Those of you who want prayer can come forward. There's some people that are going to be praying tonight in proxy for people. We've got a few things that Pastor Steve has a little note there. And we'll get to that. But I want you to really believe tonight. Really pray tonight and believe and be persuaded that on this night, January 7th, 2018, God touches. Can you say amen to that? Can you believe God with me tonight for that? Can we have a faith field in here where people are touched because of body life prayer? Remember they lowered the guy down. Remember they opened up somebody's roof and lowered the guy down. And Jesus said, I'm going to heal him because of their faith. The faith of the four men who dropped him down. He said, I will heal this man because of their faith. They had faith in God. I don't even know where the guy himself was at. But their faith. So let's be persuaded tonight. Maybe these men of God will come in front and then go into the back with oil. And they'll pray for you. And feel free. Don't be intimidated in any way. Just come forward. If we could have some music, that would be great. Some music in the background. So let's pray. Father, thank you tonight. Before we pray for the sick, we pray for salvations. We ask if there's anyone here who is not born again. Simply say, Jesus, save me tonight. I believe in you, Jesus, and I receive you as my personal Savior. Come into my life, live in me. Give me the person of the Holy Spirit and make me brand new. I come to you. I say yes to Jesus. If that's your prayer on the internet or here in the assembly hall, just lift your hand up. Jesus, save me. Jesus, save me. Jesus, save me. Lift your hand up high. We've got one person there. Thank you, God. Jesus, save me. Jesus, save me. Now feel free to just be led by God and come. These men will pray for you. And let's have an atmosphere of faith. Let's not have any talking, any moving around. Let's just believe God tonight. Unless there's something that has to take place. Believe God tonight. Be persuaded tonight. We're praying tonight, God, for Pastor Tim Silvius. Touch him, God, for a quick recovery. We thank you. Betty Savasik's dad, a lump in her throat. Vicky Washington in the hospital. Heather and Sandy Weiss. Heather's in a coma. We pray, God, touch her. God, touch her. And heal, God, tonight. Heal people as they come forward. Heal people because of who you are. Thank you, God. There's healing in the name of Jesus. Healing in the name of Jesus. You can come on. Thank you, God. We're persuaded tonight that He is able.